The number one thing I would really focus on is figuring out what their pain is. Why is a person coming to you? And I mean, obviously they're coming to you because they need help to find a real estate agent to get a house. But it's about taking those couple of steps deeper.
Hello, welcome to episode 160 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by Sophia Dagnon, Head of Research and Copy for Get Uplift, a conversion rate optimization agency. With any marketing you do, the number one goal is to convert your leads into customers. For Sophia and her team, that goes beyond coming up with a catchy subject line or ad copy. Throughout our conversation, Sophia shares how to key in on customers' pain points, gather the data to better craft your message, and tips to determine if your message is leading to more conversions. But before we get on to today's featured interview, the all-new Smart Agents magazine has launched and is full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you will find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Subscribe now to receive your copy of the printed magazine each month and instantly get access to our online agent community and members-only templates. Click the link in the episode description or go to smartagents.com/magazine. Also, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Sophia Dagnon. If you're interested in learning more about conversion rate optimization, I've included a link to the Get Uplift blog in the episode description. So yeah, if you could, I always like to start out with having our guests introduce themselves a little bit, who you are and what you do.
Okay, hey, I'm Sophia Dagnon. I'm the head of research and copy at Get Uplift, which is a conversion rate optimization agency. And to put that in like non-marketing terms, we basically help our clients figure out how they can optimize the site so they can reach the right people and sell their products better.
Right, absolutely. And that's one of those things, you know, for our listeners as real estate agents, you know, converting those leads and getting people to actually want to choose them over, you know, all the other competition out there, that's a big, big thing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very competitive space.
Yeah. So what got you into, you know, this line of work?
So it's kind of like a roundabout story. After graduating, I moved to the States. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I just ended up researching a bunch of online stuff. I fell into content marketing. I realized that marketing was actually a thing because my degree is in archaeology, which obviously utterly, well, related, but not exactly related. And so I just got into that. I started writing for some online blogs. Then I realized that copywriting was a thing, conversion rate optimization was a thing, and I was kind of good at it. It was also more fun. So I just moved into that and been doing it ever since.
Yeah. So, you know, for our audience, again, the real estate, you know, whether it be an email or social media post or, you know, print marketing that they put out there. I'd love to kind of pick your brain and talk a little bit about some of, well, you know, even starting with just the actual copywriting of some of those things to get people to actually want to, whether that's click a link or, you know, call the number on there, but eventually choose to have a conversation with the agent.
Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start. So the number one thing I would really focus on is figuring out what their pain is. Why is a person coming to you? And I mean, obviously they're coming to you because they need help to find a real estate agent to get a house. But it's about taking those couple of steps deeper. So obviously not every real estate agent is a fit for every person. And every person has different requirements and ideas of what they want in a house. Like, and you have like the obvious stuff, like area, you obviously have size, like school location, all kinds of things. And so where I would start is to like, how do you get your pages to convert? Well, figure out what the specific things that the people that you're going after actually want. Like, what are those top things? And then by showing that on your page, you instantly become more than yet another person who can sell me a house or help me find my house, but you become the person that they actually really want to work with. Like the only person who can get those specific requirements and build that specific relationship. Because a house is very personal, right?
Yeah. And so when you're doing those things and kind of building, you know, I always kind of call it like that client avatar and, you know, that, you know, the ideal customer that you're obviously targeting with that landing page or whatever it is. What kind of exercises do you go through to start building out that list of, you know, wants and desires that that customer might have?
So that depends on whether you're just starting out and you have no leads and no clients, and whether you do have leads and clients. So let's like kind of tackle both separately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, so if you're just starting out, you don't have any customers you can talk to. You're basically like, okay, I'm at zero. This is the career I want. I need to build this. So that's when you go to places like Reddit and like forums where people share like their journey of buying a house. It could be social media. It could be TikTok. And you start looking through everything that they're saying. And so you can narrow this down on area. You can narrow this based on the type of property you want to sell. I don't know that much about that particular market. So like if I get some of the details wrong here, please forgive me. But essentially, you're the expert. Narrow it down to the things that really matter. And then start taking note of all the pains people are saying, of their experience with past agents, of things that have been really nightmarish about the buying experience, of things that they wish could be better. And so you start building these ideas of, okay, so this really doesn't work in our industry. This person is saying this particular thing. And then, okay, you have that list. Figure out what actually connects with you. Which of these pains do you actually want to solve? And at the beginning, it's very easy to say like, well, I want to solve all of them. But I mean, we're all human. We all have particular strengths. So really try to narrow it down to the, okay, of these things, I can really help people solve these top three things. And then start testing. Just put that messaging on your site in a fairly rough form. So the one thing about copywriting is it doesn't have to be perfect. The most important thing is that you're hitting the right pain. If you're hitting the right pain, even imperfect words will help you. Whereas if you're hitting the wrong pain, there are no words out there that will help you do anything. So you put it up there and then see what connects. As you send leads to your site, as you speak to them, just ask them, hey, by the way, like this messaging actually work for you? And then listen to them, see what they say. Sometimes they'll be like, great. Sometimes they won't really give you an answer that's helpful at all. And sometimes they'll be like, nope, actually, this does in no way describe me at all. So dig deeper, figure out what works. And then just don't be afraid to adjust from that initial list. And then once, of course, kind of the next step, and that's the step where you start if you have an existing business, is speak to your customers. And like figure out where your particular strengths are. Just have a casual 30, 40 minute chat of asking them like how they, not how necessarily they found you, but what the push points were for them to actually choose you. Like what made them specifically connect with you? So obviously get all the specific details like, okay, like why are you looking for a house? And then dig deeper. Like obviously I'm looking for a house because I want a house. But what are those kind of end outcomes? Like, why do you want a house in that particular neighborhood, in that particular area? What do you see your life being in 10 years with that house? So you're kind of just putting them into that like dream future state, because ultimately, whenever we are selling anything, we are selling the potential outcome that you get. It's the connection you can have with that house in 5 years or in 2 years, if you're just looking for something local to really quickly turn around, like whatever that need is. And so speak to them, figure out that need. And then again, with the messaging, you start connecting. And after that, as you grow, you can do things like surveys. You can even leave like a survey on your own site so people can tell you like why they're there, what they want your help with. And so you just, as you grow, you're always just going that layer deeper. But never forget about the Reddit forums and all of those other places you can have those conversations, because that gives you kind of the truest idea of how the market is feeling right now.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's that initial data collection and is so important. And in real estate, it's so easy because you can turn to your friends and family that are purchasing a home or maybe going through a life change and their purchase, even thinking about your own past. I mean, there's so many great places to get that, that information.
Yeah, exactly. Like even neighbors, like we all know people that have gone through a journey. Some have had fantastic experiences and some would literally rather get a root canal. So like figure out what those differentiators are.
Right. Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about, you've touched on it throughout, you know, with the pain points and things, but the emotional targeting and, you know, what that really means to you guys and what, you know, how you guide clients to really, you know, focus in on that.
Yeah. And so I think the emotional targeting is going to feel very like obvious, maybe obvious is not the right word, but something that we'll connect with, because whenever you're buying anything, and that's kind of the foundation of this theory. So whenever you're buying anything, you're buying it because of how it makes you feel and the imagined outcome that you have. And when you say that, that kind of sounds like, well, yeah, I mean, duh. But the funny thing is that when we're in the buying process, we usually have these really long lists and ideas and features and very specific stuff we want. Because, I mean, in a sense, you need to do the prep work. But ultimately, that decision is still made on that. Like, how do I feel this house is actually going to make me feel when I'm in it, when I'm with my family, when I have friends around, when I do, like, when I build an office or, like, whatever my vision for this place is. And so where the emotional targeting is, and why I was talking about figuring out those pains earlier, is you need to figure out how people feel right now. So that's kind of that pain state. And then how they want to feel in that dream state. Like, what does actually owning an ideal house really, really feel like? And that's going to look so different based on their goals and plans and ideas of what a neighborhood should be or what an area should be. But having that in your messaging instantly puts you ahead of 90-ish percent of other people out there, because it's very easy to focus on how many rooms it has, what school district it's in, like, and to hit those specific features. But to really build something that people are going to love you for, you need to take it that layer deeper of like, okay, it's in that school district, but what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? What does it feel like? Like, do you feel pride because your kids get to go to that school? Do you feel scared because your kids get to go to that school? And just start integrating that in your marketing.
Right. When you, and obviously in real estate, you know, what my, you know, pain points or triggers are can be completely different from my neighbor just because of maybe our family setup or just whatever it is. So for real estate agents that are maybe, you know, marketing their services for a specific neighborhood or a specific town, would it be a good idea to have, you know, almost like multiple landing pages that target specific, you know, like maybe you are targeting the single family home buyers in, you know, promoting your area. And then maybe, you know, maybe I live in an area that does have a pretty good, you know, nightlife scene or a young, you know, professionals scene also. And then having, you know, a landing page that maybe targets more specifically than that, then blending the two on one.
So that would actually more depend on your size as a real estate business than on anything else. So generally, there is that temptation when you're starting out of going super specific. And I'd actually advise against it. It's, you have limited resources. The closer you are to the beginning, the more strapped you're going to be. What I do instead is just identify. So we're all human, right? So we all share particular emotional triggers. So identify the top emotion, all of those groups that you want to go after, want to feel, or the top two, because there will be some overlap. And then from there, you can kind of focus around building that emotional core and just add some examples of what that looks like for different people. Because the other thing is, most of us don't want to live in a neighborhood that looks exactly like us. Like, you don't necessarily just want to live with other single people, just with other families. Like, you want that diversity so that your kids or you can have a different experience. And so start tying that into the outer state, like into the state that the person wants to feel. So let's say you are single, you're going to be looking for specific things, but you can still tie in like the emotional core of how that applies to everyone. So yes, we have awesome restaurants. Some of them are kid friendly. So you're appealing to the family. Some of them have like longer opening hours. So you're appealing to the person who's not as concerned as getting up at 4 a.m.
Right. Right. And, you know, when it comes to the actual messaging and getting those, you know, so outside of the landing pages and the website and that type of stuff, the actual, you know, the content creation and the blogging, how big of a part, you know, should that be for, you know, real estate agents or, you know, these small businesses to kind of get their message out there so that you're bringing in an audience from other places?
So that is partly going to depend on your goal as a business owner of essentially, like, the first question is, where do your leads come from? Like, do you want your leads to, like, with these kind of businesses, some leads will always come as referrals. And that is a great channel to build, where you just build great relationships with your customers and you get them to recommend you to their friends and family. Because those tend to be not the easiest ones to close, but one, like, people that already like you tend to give you more of a benefit of a doubt than complete strangers. So referral channel, really important, but that's naturally just going to build up. I mean, naturally, as long as you put a lot of work in it, but naturally going to build up as you grow your business. As for the other channels, like, it does come down to what works in your area and who's buying in your area. So again, that comes back to either that doing that initial research, whether it's talking to current customers or talking to friends and family who've bought recently. So where they found those people? If you're selling to a younger home buyer, that could be TikTok. That could be like specific social media locations that you go to. If you're selling to a different buyer, that could be running mini local events or joining a local event. So again, I wouldn't worry too much about what the best channel is, but figure out where you believe a really good stream of clients can come from, and then just throw yourself at that channel and see what works. There isn't a right or wrong, and you don't need to be in all of the places because that temptation also exists. You just need to be in the places your people are in, which sounds really simple, but it's so, so hard when you're actually doing it and you have that fear of missing out of all the other real estate agents are making YouTube videos. Should you be doing it? Well, do the people you want to target watch YouTube videos?
Hey,
right. Some will, some won't. What type of YouTube videos do they watch? Like, do they want home tours or do they want a 1 minute, these are the best things about the neighborhood?
Right,
and that kind of comes back to that audience you mentioned of, like, who do we want to target? Who do we want to build pages for? Figure out what content they want, make a little bit of that and see what sticks. The earlier you are, the less time I'd spend planning and figuring out, like, what a great strategy looks like. And the more time I'd spend just do something, see if it works, see how it makes you feel. Because the thing about content is, if you hate it, you're not going to do a lot of it. Like, at some point, right, your routine will die. So,
right. Well, not only will you get burned out with it, but also the content, it's just not very consumable either, because you can tell that a person really just doesn't like, you know, is uncomfortable or isn't really into that.
Yeah. Just don't, don't feel the pressure to do stuff that everyone else is doing, but try to relieve that pressure from yourself by going for channels that you actually like being logged in on. Because that does make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned there earlier also, just not so much, you know, don't put so much time in on the planning of it, but just go out there and try a few things. So that really, you know, brings me to the next thing I want to talk to you about is the testing of different things and, you know, the A-B testing or, you know, trying a little bit of content here and trying this channel over here. When it comes to doing those kind of things, I think a lot of people get frustrated when they don't get immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk to me a little bit about how people should be testing things in a way that the data coming in is actually usable and you can form an educated opinion on whether it works for you or not.
Okay, so I'm going to start with an example of why testing, if you are at size, if you're getting thousands of visitors to your site, really, like, you're getting, let's say, 50,000 a month, is very, very important. But let's take that down a step. So I run we run an email marketing test for a huge client of ours recently. Exact same subject line. The subject line was not the test. The test was the body copy. This was an A-B randomized split test, which means a completely random segment would get one and a completely random segment would get the other. We had a 36% open rate on one and a 30 on the other for something that's identical as the numbers were growing. And this was with, like, about, I think, 20,000 people haven't gotten each one. This is the same subject line. At some point, we have to understand that numbers are very important, but small numbers group together in ways that don't necessarily make any sense. And they only tend to level out either, like, after time.
Right.
So if you are just starting out, I wouldn't worry too much about outside of paid, and I'll touch on paid separately in a second.
Yeah.
Like for organic traffic, I wouldn't worry too much on official A/B testing. What I would do is follow incremental trends. So take a group, like a specific time period, look at what's happening. So kind of study it, see what your leads are doing, do something different, and then measure the results. Now, this is not as scientific. It's not as accurate, but you kind of avoid falling into that thing where the numbers are so small that you're getting all sorts of weird mixed signals. So the smaller you are, the more you can afford to just take action and not worry so much about like doing specific splits. Now in paid, because you're spending a lot and because paid platforms usually have a way for you to track, I would still spend a little bit of like, I would actually A/B test there. I try different headlines, I try different things and see how that performs. But always keep in mind that small numbers can cluster in ways that nobody understands just because of a random chance. And so whenever you see anything that is looks too weird or too unusual, like try a different channel to understand the same thing. So never just trust one source, kind of try to figure out a different way to test the same messaging and see if it still has that kind of split. I don't know if that in any way answered your question or not.
Yeah, no, because I mean, we do a lot of email marketing as well. And, you know, when we're testing out a different headline or something like that, you send it out there and it comes back and it's like, man, that really didn't work very well. But then you kind of, you know, for us, you know, you start looking at things. Well, you know, for our audience, it's real estate agents. And we know that summer months are kind of tough because kids are at home and, you know, they're on vacations. That's when maybe when they're taking, so our sales would normally go down. If it's that first week of, you know, the school year, we're definitely not going to get a whole lot of opens. And so, you know, we always have to kind of keep that in mind of what's actually going on in our customer base's lives as well to see if, you know, if those are going to impact our numbers.
Exactly. And my other biggest piece of advice, and this can be harder to do, is test strategy versus tactics. So subject line tests, a lot of these kind of incremental tests that we all do, like you test a headline, you test a thing, that should always be backed by those pains that we initially built and by the strategy of what you believe people feel and how you want them to feel. So incremental tests are more of a thing that just make us, like, especially in smaller companies. And by smaller, I do mean like the definition of anybody under 500 employees, where I think most real estate agents fall into. You can still afford to have a much more personal touch than a lot of other businesses. And you can still afford to learn about your clients a lot more. Even as you grow into like some of the bigger ones have hundreds of people, you're still at an advantage to compare to something like a big SaaS or a big e-commerce business. So I would lean into that advantage and just and test ideas based on a particular pain. So we believe that these customers want to feel X to buy this house versus they want to feel Y to buy that house. And then test stuff based on that versus on like tiny things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in the housing market specifically, as things, you know, ebb and flow with a, you know, maybe the inventory in a particular neighborhood is particularly low and you're sending out a message, you know, to look to see if anybody is looking to sell, you know, it's, hey, this is a great time for you because there will be so much interest on your home. And so being able to kind of change, not necessarily, you know, you're not necessarily changing your channel that you're reaching people out, but that, you know, that pain point or, you know, that emotional trigger for them to kind of get, you know, engaging with your emails or whatever it is.
Exactly. And especially, I mean, you kind of nailed it. The housing market is, it's such a dynamic place and people's needs and pains and desires are going to change just on what's happening with the rest of the market as well, because they're kind of interlinked, right? So testing those different messages is just so much more effective than getting hung up on making sure the specific stuff align.
All right. Absolutely. Tell me, you know, a little bit about, you know, balancing out, you know, the copywriting that is strictly for conversion versus, you know, hitting those pain points and, you know, really kind of building that relationship with your, you know, your lead base, your customer base. Cause a lot of times, you know, the real estate space, those leads, they're going to be on some kind of a drip campaign or some kind of a email campaign. And you don't want all of the emails going to those, you know, that list to be strictly a, you know, a billboard for you. It needs to have some of that, you know, educational content behind it and things.
I mean, I'd actually think about it in the exact same way you build any friendship. Like, ultimately, the goal of any friendship is to be friends, right? The goal of a real estate relationship is to get a house. So, yes, you need to have the fact that you're an agent and you're selling a house that people already kind of assume. If they're getting messages from you and they've come to your real estate website and they've signed up to your list, they kind of know who you are. And so for those emails, you mentioned the education part. I would just build it around those emotions. Again, like, you pick those triggers, you know how the person wants to feel in that house, and then give them some of the factors that actually help them, like send them an email about the area and how they may feel here. Send them an email about activities that are nearby, or about, like, again, I keep going back to schools because that's really important when choosing a house, but all of those things, you can still have that entire email be educational, but you're still hitting the top emotions you want to hit. And the emotions in those particular cases are showing them that you understand the area that they want to live in, and you're positioning yourself as the best person to do X. Like, in order to be the best person, most best people don't go, yep, I'm the best at doing this thing, and this is why you should work with me. We show. And that's how I would think about those emails. You're just showing you're the absolute best fit by hitting the right emotional triggers. Then, of course, at the bottom, you can have your sign off. You can have a CTA to book a call. Like, that doesn't take away from the educational aspect.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many different tools out there to, you know, to book those. Cause we personally use, you know, like the Calendly's, and those are great to put in an email or things like that. And it doesn't have to be so, so obvious that you're, you know, you're trying to get somebody to reach out to you.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, like, there's no need to pretend that you're not trying to sell them a house, but hitting all the reasons that they may want to buy a house from you is just like a nicer, more human way to do that.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, obviously this is something that a conversation when it comes to, you know, copywriting conversion and just, you know, marketing conversion in general, I think, you know, could go on for so long. There's so many different aspects to it, but tell me a little bit about what you guys do specifically, and then the 5-day course that you guys offer.
So that particular course is all about figuring out like what those emotional triggers are and how to use them. So one of the resources that you get is an exhaustive list of all the different psychological triggers. And that's a fancy way of just saying like human behavior, but captured under specific umbrella terms. So we all act in those ways. We are all affected by the things by the way we act, because, you know, we're human. But this is a way that kind of lets you focus some of your emails. Like, you can pick a trigger. You'll be like, okay, so I have this pain from my list from earlier. I have this particular trigger I want to hit. And it gives you a really nice marketing focus. And it also just makes it easier to write. If you're like, okay, today I want to hit X trigger and X emotion. You write the thing, you send it. Great. And so the course is just a way to kind of show you how to build those emails and build that marketing out using emotional triggers for yourself with some examples, essentially.
Awesome. And then for anybody else that, you know, is wanting to learn more about you guys, where can they go?
GetUplift.co is the best way. We have some courses, we have some resources. As an agency, we tend to work with a lot of e-commerce and SaaS businesses. So a lot of our examples are kind of tied to that. But the learnings can apply to any industry. Like, you absolutely do not have to be in SaaS and e-com in order to be able to use that methodology to get more leads, to get more clients, and to build a business you love.
Right. So I think that's what's been really interesting about doing this podcast for the last, you know, 3 years, is that we have been able to bring on guests from so many different, you know, areas in sales and marketing. It really does apply to everybody in this industry.
I mean, ultimately, like, what is sales? Sales is building a relationship with someone in order for both of you to get an outcome that you want. Like, that is what a good sale looks like.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's been great.
I really want to thank Sophia for joining us today. And remember, if you're interested in learning more about this topic, I've included a link to the Get Uplift blog in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.